Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God. My name is Pastor Marquise, and we are a non-denominational church led by the living and active Word of God in the heart of Seattle, Washington, by Pastors Harold and Annis Faye Franklin. Whether this is your first time, second time, be sure to subscribe and share this with those that need it. Now join me and be ready to live and learn from the Word of God.
You got some kids that you do and you do and you do for them, and they never say thank you. Pretty soon that's pretty hard to do for them, and they never say thank you. So I just want to just tell God thank you this morning. He kept me all week long and spared my life. Thank you, Pastor. He gave me another opportunity today. I've been thinking about church development, praying for church development. Because in the reality of church development for the believers, it is not just joining the church. And Jesus, in his infinite wisdom, said, "Learn of me." And one thing that we have to believe that this church is a teaching church, a word church. Because you really can't live anything you don't know. You know, if you don't have the rules and the principles and all the things that governs your activity, you're not going to be successful. Come on and tell God thank you. We want to be successful in living this life. So Jesus said, once you have accepted me, once the Spirit of God has indwelled himself in you, you need to learn of what you possess. Does that make sense? Some people says, yes, I am a born again believer. But then when you ask them, what does that mean? They have not taken the time to learn what they have become. And so it is good to be here today. It is good to take the time to study, to show thyself approved, because a workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. So we look at the scripture today, and when we look at the living of a believer, you can call it a Christian, but that's too general for me. Everybody a Christian these days. But the life of a believer has superfluities. Superfluities means that things that come in and come out. You got your ups and downs, you know. And then with those ups and downs, sometimes you will ask yourself, am I really saved? You know, why has this happened to me? Am I living right? Am I doing right? And you begin to question about what God has put in you. Because you have not put enough word in yourself. Scripture says that the gospel was preached to us as well as them, which means the other folks, the non-believers, but it profited them little because they did not mix it with faith. We got to mix faith with the word, and faith itself is loyalty to God with what he's teaching. But even with that, I don't think us as preachers and teachers, in whatever position you hold in Christendom, I don't think we teach enough about the wrestling. You're going to wrestle with things in your life. And everybody, when I first got saved, I was so glad to be saved. I didn't want to step on no bugs or nothing. I was just, oh God, it was just great. It was just great. But this thing goes along, people say something to you in the church. What? I thought I left that out there. And as life go on, and what? I lost my job? I thought because I paid my tithes, all this stuff was working for me. You know, and then all of a sudden, you are a member, but you feel disconnected. This is the wrestling that we go through. Let's go to the scripture. Ephesians 6 and 12. Let's get the Bibles and work with me this morning. The wrestling in the spirit is what we're going to talk about. Say amen when you have it. This is a short scripture, but it's an important one, and everybody's heard it. We wrestle not against the flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Sometimes we wonder why things are going on. We really don't understand what the world's doing. I can't understand why people would cut somebody's head off. I can't understand why people would say completely ignorant, humane things about a class of people and want to run for president to lead all people. I can't understand why a state like the state of Washington would put gay and lesbian agendas above children's agendas. I can't understand that. We wrestle with that because we know that is a demonic force that's operating in this world. And so when we look at these things and we start asking, God, what is it? Well, historically, we have always wrestled with things of this world. We have to understand that the Bible is written for the believer. The only thing in the Bible for a non-believer is repent. Does that make sense? The only thing you can do according to the scripture is repent so you can understand it. So let's look at this Bible a little closer. Let's go talk to a man, if you don't mind me using that idea. In Genesis 32 and 24. We're gonna teach a lesson from that activity. This is about somebody we're always hearing about. This is about a liar, a trickster, a thug, and then he messed around and had a bunch of bad kids that lineage kept going on. He was killing each other and putting them in pits, and it was just going, all this was going on. But this man had come to a place in his life that he had decided, this is crazy. I've been living a life that has made no sense to me. I don't know if you all have done this, but I spent some time reflecting my life. And my life didn't start making sense until I accepted Christ. But even with that, I began to understand there's still some things going on. Amen? So the scripture says, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. Wrestling. How can you be alone and wrestle with a man? That's what he said. And Jacob was left alone, but yet he wrestled with a man. Where was this man? Who was this man? Why was he wrestling and still alone? Well, sometimes we are alone. We do have our biggest wrestling matches. We can be alone with our mates right next to us, sitting next to us, riding next to us, and we're wrestling with this unnamed man inside of us. Jacob was left alone, and this, let's understand why he was alone. That's the history of Jacob. He had tricked his brother Esau out of his birthright. In other words, he stole his brother's inheritance. by trickery. His mother was in on it. His mother was a trickster. She set it up to where he could go in with a bear rug on or something to where he, because Esau was hairy and the daddy was blind, and he rubbed on him and he realized it was him, and he brought him some porridge and he ate and he gave this man, Jacob, Esau's blessing. Now, I don't know about you, but if this is all I've been waiting all my life for, and they didn't have a whole lot. They didn't have no bank money to put away. They didn't have a whole lot. They had what they had. But the blessing was the anointing that God has placed on the father that at that time could be passed on to the eldest or the inherited one. So he stole his blessing. Well, let's look at it. What is the character of Jacob? Coming out the womb, he held Esau's foot to trip him up. All his life, he has been a trickster. His name meant trickster. This is the character. Some of us have character that is just who you are without Christ. Some people have behaviors that only the blood of Jesus is going to change. So when we look at Jacob, Jacob had done everything consistent with what he was taught and called. Now, if you were called a trickster all your life, what you going to be? You know, all your life, that's what they say, here come that trickster. Watch him. You ever had them kids come to your house and you got to tell them, watch him. Don't leave your purse open. Don't let him walk through. Don't let him walk. Go with him. You tell a kid enough that he's just like his no good daddy, he's going to be just like his no good daddy. You tell a kid enough that you ain't going to be nothing, you'll get a nothing. Unless the blood of Jesus come along. This is the beauty. This is what we have, is that we have the ability to be rebirthed. You know, we have an ability to become a new creation. Through no efforts of our own, through nothing that we do, through nothing that we can't even buy. But Jesus Christ died on the cross that we could be new. Oh, come on and tell him thank you. We can have a second chance at this thing. That's what we need to learn about salvation. But here's Jacob. Didn't know nothing about no Jesus. And because they operated on the opportunity of conscience, this was a dispensation of conscience. You know, conscience meant that whatever they thought was right. You know, there wasn't no Bible. But it's just, well, I'm going to go over and kill all these people and take their sheep so that my tribe can have what they got. And that must be okay. So when we work on, we gotta work on not being, that's what I call about that self-talking, that self-decision making. We have to be careful that we don't slip into the Jacob behavior. When you slip into self-righteousness, you'll justify anything you do. The reason I beat my wife is because she does not obey me. Now, I'm not saying that because y'all know Sister Woodley ain't nobody to play with. But that self-talk and that self-thinking justifies the things that we do, the things we say to people, the things we do to people. We say they deserve it. If they hadn't did this to me, I'd have never had to do this to them. So Jacob was in that frame of thinking, and so he thought it was right to steal. Look at the logic. He thought it was right to steal from family. But once he found out that his brother didn't think it was right, his mother and his brother and his mother and himself got him out of town. And for a long time, he had to run. But God dealt with him every step of the way. First, he sent him to his uncle's house. Another trickster, Laman. You know what? Sin will make you work for nothing. You understand me? It is harder to live up to a lie than it is to face up to the truth. It is harder to tell a lie and be consistent than it is to be with the truth. And so we see Jacob's life perpetrated on a lie and also trying to forget his original sin that he had never asked for forgiveness for. So all of this traveling and everything, and finally his sons went and killed a whole lot of folks. And then he said, I'm going home to repent. Somebody got to understand, it's time to come on back and tell God I'm sorry. Yes. It's time to come back and say, I'm tired of being sick and tired. Could you imagine being on the road all them years and got wives and a bunch of children, got over 400, 600 servants and camels and sheep, and you all carrying all this stuff, and it ain't nothing but a lie. He had gotten to a position in life that material things could not make up his spiritual deficit. Material things could not replace the lack of peace that he did not have. He had a continuous longing to be at peace with God, but had not done his first works to develop a relationship with God. So this is what he did. He makes his mind up to go home, but he knew he was wrong. Now see, this you know, all of us got some fears. Everybody come on now. Oh, everybody think that they bold in holiness and everything, but you let something prick that nerve. He had a lot of fear. So he got ready to go home, and he got to thinking, now I have, excuse the vernacular, dogged my brother out. I have stole all that he has lived for. And now I got to go home and face it. So on his way home, he decided to stop. Now this is how Jacob was. Listen, he had repented and he had meant it as much as he could, but he did not learn how to trust God. So he packed up the women and children, packed up all the servants, packed up all the camel, and sent them, and kept a few things, but sent everybody to meet the brother first. Because the servant came back and said, your brother is willing to meet you, and he's bringing 400 men. But he sent the women and children first. I guess if you're going to kill somebody, let's test it out. Kill the women and children, and then I will come. That's a lack of faith. But when the servant, when he went to bed that night, he said Jacob was left alone. Sometimes you got to get alone before God can deal with you. Sometimes we got to get out the crowd. Get away from the family. Turn off the TV. So God can talk to you. So he left him alone, and he left him alone, and he visited in the form of a ladder coming down and talking to says, he says, what is your name? See, this is the question we need to be asking ourselves. What's your name? And why would God ask him that? God know everything. And he says that they wrestled. They wrestled. We're going to have some wrestling now. And he said, this is what is going to happen most of the time in the night. They wrestled all through the night, but his faith had become real because this man was real, but he was alone. He knew he was alone, but he was wrestling with an angel. And he said, I'm not going to turn you loose. Somebody got to be diligent in holding on. The angel said, turn me loose. It's almost daylight. He said, I'm not going to turn you loose until you bless me. How many need a blessing this morning? You got to hold on till you get your blessing. You got to hold on. It's a wrestling situation. But oh God, if you just hold on and watch what happens. And the man said to him, what is your name? What is your name? With this kind of faith, I need to know who you are. And he said, you're no longer Jacob. You've demonstrated a quality that's better than the name Jacob. You've demonstrated a life that requires me to change your name to Israel. You got something in you that need to be passed on. This is when God is talking to you this morning. Your name ain't what the folks called you. Your name is not your unsaved past. Your name is your born again future. What is your name this morning? And so, during the wrestling match, some extraordinary things happened. See, God does things for a purpose. He touched him in the hollow of his thigh. And that meant that he limped from that day on. I don't mind having folks limping around me. Because, you know, when you got that new life, all of a sudden that limp comes on and you can remember where God brought you from. All of a sudden that limp comes on and you remember how God changed things in your life. Yes. The limp comes about and God brings it to your memory. Yes. When it changed your name. Yes. I know he's changed my name this morning. I know he's made a difference in my life. Yes. I'm holding on until he blessed me. Yes. Come on and tell him thank you this morning. Yes. Wrestling. Don't be disappointed. Don't give up when you don't feel saved. Sometimes you might not feel saved. Sometimes you might not feel like praying. I'm gonna tell you what the doctor told me. I used to get up and I'd do insulin. And he says, how do you do your insulin in the morning? Well, I get up and I shoot some insulin. He said, Well, how's that working for you? Well, sometimes I cramp up and look like I'm having a fit because I done shot too much insulin. He said, get a meter and test yourself. And then apply the proper amount. You may not feel safe. Good, get your meter out and call on God. Ask God to touch me right now. Tell me where I'm at and what I need to do. I might not feel like praising God. Get your meter out and ask God to help me, Lord. Thank you. You got to be able to trust that God is. He's always there. Don't look to the world to encourage you to be saved. Trust me on this one. The world is not going to encourage you to stop doing things to destroy yourself. Does that make sense? You're wrestling. Especially these new believers, you're wrestling. You're digging. You're seeking. You want to understand this. Because all I've had all my life is smell, touch, and taste. But now you want me to deal with the unknown spiritual world. But you got to step out of the natural and into the spiritual and say, here I am, Lord. Use me. Touch me. Shape me. Hallelujah. How many of you ever had a kite? When we was kids, flying kites was cool. You know, these drones and stuff, they're flying, they got people. I can't get with that. But we used to fly the kite. Pastor, you remember the kite go up? String wasn't but a nickel in my day. Man, go up to the store, get some more string. We put more string and that kite go up. Man, go get another roll of string. I think I put up to 5 rolls of string putting that kite up in there as a kid. But it gets up above the clouds and you don't see it. But you got your hand and you're holding on to the string. And every once in a while, you pull on the string and you can feel it tug back. That's how the spiritual world works. Every once in a while, you ask God, come on and touch me. Lay your hands on me, Jesus. I don't mind. And all of a sudden, you get a touch from what you can't see. And the old folks saying, up above my head, I hear music in the air. There must be, come on and say, there must be a God somewhere. This is what we have to understand. This salvation that we have is not a smell, touch, and taste reality. It's a spiritual reality. You know you're not the same creature. You got to claim it for yourself and know it for yourself and say, I used to be, but look at me now. Hallelujah. I can feel the presence of God no matter where I'm at. I don't need no music to get my step on. I don't need a crowd to feel the presence of God. I can feel him because he's everywhere. But I know he's in me today. Hallelujah this morning. When you decide of being sick and tired, when them kids ain't making no sense, everybody got them, come on now. When them kids ain't making no sense no more. And things in this world don't make no sense. You need to do like Jacob and say, I'm going home. I'm going home and get my stuff right. Sometimes you got to face some things. Sometimes you got to say, Lord, I was wrong. I was wrong, but I know I could be right. If you forgive me. This morning, small lesson, big text. Getting your life in line with the walk in Christ is a wrestling with the spirit condition. No matter how you feel, you know, like folks always speak and stuff on this. I'm too tired. Lord, I'm too tired to go to church. You know, I've been out or up all night long. I'm too tired to get up. But I'm going to tell you something. This is where your healing and deliverance is at. When you're saying that you don't want to come, it's because you're wrestling with the spirit, because you know inside of your head and inside of your heart, you know where you're supposed to be. If you profess in Christ, there is a tugging on your spirit. There is a challenge on you to do the right thing. This morning is for you to surrender. The song they sang this morning, I surrender all. Malcolm McDowell sings that song, I Surrender. Malcolm William McDowell, Malcolm's cousin. I surrender. You got to understand what that really means. I remember the Cowboys, they come in and they getting ready to rob somebody. What they holler? Stick 'em up. You need to have a stick up moment where you say, Lord, here I am. I surrender to you. Whatever your will is for me right now, I surrender, Lord. I can't handle it no more by myself. I'm tired of trying to figure this out on my own. Hallelujah. When Hennessy and drugs and all that stuff don't work no more, you need a stick up. When them lovers done walked off, them temporary situations ain't gonna work for you. Temporary. And this is only for this world. Jesus Christ came through seven generations to come to this place, to be born of a virgin, to walk on this earth, and his ministry lasted for 3 years. And oh, what did he do in those 3 years? They said it was so much they couldn't even put it in a book. Amen. Jesus Christ, who says, I come to surrender, but not my will, but my Father's will. Jesus Christ, who was beaten all night long, betrayed by his friends. His brothers used to tease him. I mean his blood brothers. Jesus Christ, who was offered up as a lasting sacrifice to where we don't have to kill cattle no more and birds and doves, shed his blood on the cross for you and I through no efforts of our own. But that wasn't all. He said, if I be lifted up, and I'm telling you what our job is, lift Jesus up. Amen. Let somebody see Jesus operating in you this morning. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men. Jesus was put on a cross and sunk in the socket and railed. His friend Peter walked away. He died, but he wasn't killed. He said, I commend my life unto you. I put my hands in your hands, Father. And he was buried in a borrowed grave and was raised on the third day, as scripture says, that Jesus is still here today. Amen. He's the only man that's been here who is gone, coming back, and is here right now. Amen. That's Jesus. This morning, I beseech you to worship and praise God in your life on a daily basis. Get a full understanding of what salvation means. You know, when you value something, you'll put it in a safe place. When you really value something, you'll put it in a safe place. And if it's spiritual, you can put it in a place that can't nobody come move it and say they didn't touch it. Well, you can go and find it always in everything. Come on and tell God thank you this morning. Praise God. I hope God can continue to bless you and watch you grow. It's good to see people grow in Christ. It is good to see people. And don't worry about numbers. Ain't gonna be but a few folks. You know, that's what the prophet said. I'm the only one saved. Don't think that. There's somebody else trying to live this thing. But you can live it. And you can live it successfully. Tell God thank you this morning. Amen. I'm gonna turn you back in the hands of the pastor.
Thank you for spending time with us here at New Creation Christian Center. Feel free to join our worship services on Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington, 98118. Visit our website, newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.